own dignity of that.
तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विषावहे। ॐ शान्ति
शान्ति।
We chant verses 14 to 18, chapter 11.
Tatasya vismaya vishtah, tatasya vismaya vishtah, hrishtaro madananjayah, hrishtaro madananjayah, pranamya shirasa devam, pranamya shirasa devam, kritanjalira bhashata, kritanjalira bhashata, tatasya vismaya vishtah, hrishtaro madananjayah, pranamya shirasa devam, kritanjalira bhashata. अर्जुन उवाच पश्यामि देवांस्तव देवदेहे पश्यामि देवांस्तव देवदेहे सर्वांस्तता भूत विशेष संघान सर्वांस्तता भूष विशेष संघान ब्रह्मानमीशं कमलासनस्थं ब्रह्मानमीशं कमलासनस्थं ऋषींश्च सर्वानुरगांश्च दिव्यान् ऋषींश्च सर्वानुरगांश्च दिव्यान् अर्जुन उवाच पश्यामि देवांस्तव देवदेहे सर्वांस्तदा भूत विशेष संघान् ब्रह्मानमीशं कमलासनस्थं विशिष्य सर्वानुरगांश्च दिव्यान् अनेकबाहूदरवक्त्रनेत्रम् अनेकबाहूदरवक्त्रनेत्रम् पश्यामि त्वां सर्वतोऽनन्तरूपम् पश्यामि त्वां सर्वतोऽनन्तरूपम् नान्तं न मध्यं न पुनस्तभाधिम् नान्तं न मध्यं न पुनस्तभाधिम् पश्यामि विश्वेश्वर विश्वरूप पश्यामि विश्वेश्वर विश्वरूप अनेकबाहूदरवक्त्रनेत्रम् पश्यामि त्वां सर्वतोऽनन्तरूपम् नान्तं न मध्यं न पुनस्तभाधिम् पश्यामि विश्वेश्वर विश्वरूप किरीटिनं गतिनं चक्रिणं च किरीटिनं गतिनं चक्रिणं च तेजोराशिं सर्वतो भीतिमन्तं तेजोराशिं सर्वतो भीतिमन्तं पश्यामि त्वां दुर्निरीक्ष्यं समन्तात् पश्यामि त्वां दुर्निरीक्ष्यं समन्तात् दीप्तानलार्कद्युतिमप्रमेयम् दीप्तानलार्कद्युतिमप्रमेयम् किरीटिनं गतिनं चक्रिणं च तेजोराशिं सर्वतो भीतिमन्तं पश्यामि त्वां दुर्निरीक्ष्यं समन्तात् दीप्तानलार्कद्युतिमप्रमेयम्
दीस् वर्सेस् First of all, as Arjuna starts talking, you will see the midrash changing, which points towards more of devotion also. Also, these verses make sure that you focus. That you focus. A lot of tongue twisters will be there, you know. You got to really pay attention and then chant. So, in this chapter, Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga, I've said this before also, when we are studying this Gita, actually this is a dialogue between Arjuna and Krishna, the Shishya and the Guru. When the study started for Arjuna, what was his condition, as the lecture was given, what was the transformation in Arjuna. Knowing this will intellectually benefit you. Along with that, if you see, when I started, there I was. Now what kind of transformation am I having in me when I see that? Personally also I benefit. Going just Arjuna has gone deeper, all that is okay. We should also go through a similar kind of transformation. Otherwise, like Swami Chidananda says, you have come through the Gita, but Gita should also go through you. Right? So the thing is, we should allow the Gita to go through us. So if you see, Arjuna is requesting Sri Krishna to show the cosmic form. And he very clearly says, okay, out of enthusiasm I could have asked. But if you think I am qualified only, because I am only a Shishya, I might have out of enthusiasm, inspiration, I could have asked something which probably I don't deserve. But you as a Guru, see, this is the ultimate thing in spirituality we need to understand. Because always a person, as he or she grows spiritually, understands that he or she cannot understand everything. Logic will have to bring you to this level, and then it must explain to you how logic itself is insignificant to understand something which is beyond logic. Then you drop the logic and enter. So you got to very carefully use logic up to a point. There logic will tell you very clearly, I am very limited. What you are trying to understand using me is something infinite. And I am finite. Through finite you can never understand infinite. And then slowly the devotion comes. Slowly the ego starts getting diluted more and more and more. And this we can clearly see in Arjuna. So he says, if you think I'm qualified, then you please give me the darshan. Then Sri Krishna immediately starts showing the darshan. Then he quickly says, okay, you will not be able to see all that I'm describing now. Because he says, see this, see that, and all that. Then he says, even see the future. Even though he says all this you can see, Arjuna is not able to see because the vision to turn inward has not been given by Sri Krishna to him. See, temporarily, the Guru initiates you. And when the Guru initiates you, you have to continue the sadhana. It's like you are given fire. You know, this laundry fellows use this charcoal to press your clothes, you know. So they first get it dried and then heat it, and then they go on blowing. Then it has to catch it nicely, and then only he can iron. Isn't it? Like that, the Guru just initiates you, a spark. But you got to do sadhana and make that spark into a conflagration. So there, and Guru also will initiate, and that freedom is with Guru. Whom to initiate, whom not to initiate. Because that initiation will depend upon whether you are dry. If you are extremely wet, I know it all. You remember I always mention delusion, delusion. Even in Bhajagovindam he says, Adi Shankara says, oh Muda, oh Muda, oh Muda, Mudamati, Mudamati. Who is Mudamati? Who is the deluded person?
Who thinks he knows?
Yeah. One who doesn't know anything is not Muda. And talking about him, we will be Muda. So Sri Krishna or anybody is not talking about such a person. In fact, he is better because that person says, I don't know anything, please teach me, if at all. But the person who thinks he knows, though he doesn't know, such a person is a Muda. And in the first chapter, Arjuna was like that. He was giving lecture to Sri Krishna. And then slowly he realized and surrendered in second chapter. Then slowly now he has come this far. So when the Guru initiates, he starts. That's so basically what Krishna gives him, the vision. And once he gets the inner vision, he starts seeing certain things which ordinary eyes cannot see.
But please understand, as long as it is seeing, that is also pertaining to the realm of the mind. Anything pertaining to the realm of the mind, where it is gross, these five senses can contact. When it becomes subtler, the five senses cannot contact. You got to go deep inside you. When the Agni Chakra opens up, you start having deeper perceptions of your own mental realm. Please understand, these are also realms at the thought level only. But Brahman is something which is beyond mind. Therefore, when you start doing sadhana, if at all you start having certain visions, if at all you start giving certain siddhi powers, you are supposed to be objective to them. Not get involved. Real. Because the tendency is that as we start experiencing something subtle, the negative one. So I was telling you the importance of tapas last week, you know. As you do tapas, you do see a lot of benefits coming to you. It's amazing. In any field. That's why I was giving an example of a sportsman last week. A sportsman struggles so much to hit it big. How much he struggles, it's not easy, you know. And then when they get to the international stage and they become slowly popular, and suddenly the who's contact comes to him. Suddenly everything comes. People want to take selfies and this and that. The possibility is a lot of people get involved. It requires tremendous focus. You know, that's why if a coach is there, he'll keep on telling you, don't get involved in all these things. Suddenly somebody will come and say, hey, let us spend for 100 crores for advertisements. You can do all that, but you've got to be very clear, what brought you all that? It's your tapas. You can never stop that. Same thing in spirituality. You understand? Guru, all this is okay, but ultimately you do not do tapas. Scores of lectures, thousands of gurus will not be able to help you. Swami Ramakrishna says, lecture to yourself, not to others. You know? So when you listen to any lecture, when you read any book, the idea should strike you that I must try to consolidate my tapas. At any given point in time, I must not try to encash my tapas. Keep on consolidating, consolidating, consolidating. Till it completely transforms you to that infinity. So Arjuna sees various vision, is describing all that. Luckily, always in the beginning, everybody who's going inside and doing deep meditation, always report that they are seeing only bright light. So in the 12th verse, he says, Arjuna says, if 1,000 suns were to rise all together in the sky, that splendor would be the splendor of the exalted being. See, it starts becoming light. In other words, what he is trying to say is, the grossness slowly comes down and then it becomes subtler. And when it becomes subtler, it becomes light, etc. In fact, in the 8th chapter itself we studied, going in the path of light and path of darkness. Path of light is devas and all that. Path of darkness is asuras, niche loka, you know. So, this is what he is explaining here. He is seeing subtler realms, devas, etc. Like I told you, for people who have devotion, they can relate to this easily. If you want logical explanation, like I told you, this is also still at the realm of mind only. If you want to take it as hallucination, please do. But it is not hallucination, because everybody who goes into meditation has reported the same similar kind of experience. Hallucination will be something totally different. So in 13 he says, there in the body of the God of Gods. God of Gods here refers to Sri Krishna. Pandava, Arjuna, then saw the whole world, entire world, the gross and subtle world, with its manifold divisions resting in one. So this is where I was saying, all that matters is ultimately bring your focus on one. The mind, when it is focused, the mind's nature is to run in all directions. And the more and more you bring it into focus, if you become successful in bringing it into single focus, it will start turning inward. The energy flow will start turning inward. As that is why in spirituality they give a lot of importance to sense control. Whether you go to yoga, Vedanta, whichever marga you choose, they always talk about sense control. Sense control. Because if senses are not controlled, what will happen is you are giving opportunity for the mind to go in all directions. So ultimately, spiritual field should give you focus. And that is why we say Vedanta will give you both material prosperity and mental peace. A lot of spiritual people may not want to focus in the material world, but they have the ability to focus in the mental world. If for whatever reason, if they focus in the mental world, they will become more successful because the ability to focus is more. See, paying attention is the secret of success. If you can focus, the tendency of the mind is to go either, uther, everywhere, you know. If you can harness that and channelize it and focus, automatically you will become successful. And the more you focus, mind will start going inward. And that is what Arjuna is talking about here. Verse number 14.
Tatasya vismaya vishtah, tatasya vismaya vishtah, hrishtaro madhananjayah, hrishtaro madhananjayah, pranamya shirasa devam, pranamya shirasa devam, kritanjanira bhashata, tatasya vismaya vishtah, hrishtaro madhananjayah, pranamya shirasa devam, kritanjanira bhashata.
Then he, Dhananjaya. Now, so far who's talking? Sanjaya is talking. Sanjaya is talking about the experience Arjuna is having. After this verse, Arjuna himself will start talking. So here it says, then he, referring to Dhananjaya. Dhananjaya means winner of wealth. Dhana means wealth. Dhananjaya, Arjuna was a winner of wealth. He fought with many kingdoms and he had annexed a lot of kingdom, brought a lot of wealth to his kingdom. He got that name Dhananjaya. Now, the wealth that is lying inside, you posted that, no, last week, no?
Yeah.
So go back and see that again. Right. What does that say? I remember, but I don't remember the words. What lies within is far superior than what lies without, something like that.
So the shadow, no? Oh, the cat and the lion shadow.
Yeah. See, the wealth that we are now attached to because we don't know anything subtler.
No.
Isn't it? A child, when the child is attached to the toy world, and if the child is slowly exposed to the computer world, cycle world, etc., slowly the child's attachment to the toy world drops. Isn't it? The toy world gives up the child. The child doesn't give up the toy world. Toy world gives up the child. Because now the child is exposed to something greater. This is the thing. Little taste if we have of inside. The outside things we would call it as precious trifles. Precious trifle means what? Why is it precious? Charcoal is also carbon. Diamond is also carbon. But why charcoal is not that precious? Actually, I don't know whether I can use
that. That's more rare.
Because now coal came up. So obviously coal is also more precious.
Because but it's more rare.
Exactly.
It's been compressed more. It's been the diamond is
rare. Rare. First of all, it's rare. You have to dig deep. Rare. No? So coal is also anything rare becomes precious. And there's too much available in your relationship, you will not be precious. You understand? That's a fact. That's why we say, don't be too close. But today you have to sit close. You cannot help it. You understand? Otherwise if you become too close, relationship goes for a toss. The way to gain anything is to lose it. If you are attached, you lose it. Attach, you lose, detach again. So there has to be peace. You become close, it's finished. So all these things are precious to us because we have not realized that they are also trifles, trivialities. And a person who knows something like Buddha, he was called as an idiot by his own charioteer. Charioteer said, sorry to say this sir, but to me you are looking very stupid now. When he dropped him, end of the city, he's an old man. He said, okay, to you I always will look idiotic because you have no idea about what is lying within. Like in the Padmanabha temple. Huh? Inside Padmanabha temple only, so much wealth was there, they unlocked it much later. It's exactly the same thing what the scriptures are telling us. You are not tapping even 1% of your potential. And anybody who tapped it, either directly or with the help of the Guru. The initiation is nothing but with the help of the Guru. Something similar experience was given to Swami Vivekananda apparently by Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. When his chakra was opened up by him, by Swami Ramakrishna, immediately Vivekananda saw something deeper. And then he brought him out. And you know what he told him? Now you do tapas and unite yourself. But the vision, once you've got it, you will say all this is useless. But once you haven't got that vision, these things are too much valuable to you. So therefore, without getting that, don't drop this. It's like taking away a teddy bear from a child without exposing the child to something higher. So that is why we say continue with your lifestyle, right? But keep on exposing yourself to something higher. And as the knowledge goes in, suddenly you will say this is not. Then the detachment comes. So don't force detachment on yourself. With the help of knowledge, detachment will slowly dawn upon you. So therefore the importance is on sadhana. So now here, he's saying, oh, Dhananjaya then stuck with wonder. Because he's seeing something which is beyond his sense perception. He's never seen anything like that. So he's saying, he's completely stuck with wonder. Stuck with wonder means what? It is beyond his imagination. So he could not even think about it. Something surprising and then horripilating. In the first chapter also Arjuna's hair was horripilating. But he was stressed. Here it is not because of stress, here it is because of deep inner experience. Bowing his head to the Lord, to the God. Bowing his head. See, bowing his head means you must imagine on the battlefield, Arjuna is sitting with a crown. Are you with me? Arjuna is not an ordinary person. Bowing down means extremely intelligent, well versed in the art of archery and bardana, dance and many things. Extremely intelligent in many fields. Accomplished person, successful person. He is bowing down to God. Why?
completely surrender.
Yeah, why?
Because he has full faith, he trusts him completely.
Surrendering his ego.
Yeah, so what has he realized?
That his knowledge is very deep.
Exactly. Like Einstein says, you know, what is my knowledge compared to my ignorance? And we are not talking about somebody, ordinary person, a person like Arjuna. The very mention of his name, the enemies flee. That is his strength. You understand? And he is now bowing down, which means what? He has understood the insignificance of his achievements and his ego. The same guy in the first chapter, what did he say? Sena yor bhayor madhye ratam sthapaya me achyuta. He's telling Sri Krishna, take the chariot, take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. I would like to see who all have come to fight. And when he said that, Sri Krishna just turned and smiled. When did it become yours? When did this chariot become yours? It is always Bhagavan's. Finally, who wins? Bhagavan only wins. You give everything to him and go away. Without even knowing where you are going. So therefore, that is what you need to understand here. Bowing his head to the God. Now his surrender is becoming more and more complete. The surrender started in the second chapter. See, that is why we say the sign of spirituality is not how much you know, how humble are you. Humility. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane. A Brahmin, one who is educated, is one who has not only knowledge but also humility. So that's what he is showing here. Bowing down his head to God, spoke with joy in palms. Absolute surrender. The significance of Namaskara, which Swamiji has given in the book, so kindly read that. Basically, it is trying to say that I am surrendering my complete ego in your hands. Right? You are the sculptor. Remove all the unnecessary stones and let the Ganesha from within emerge. What does the sculptor do? He brings out Ganesha from a rock. And all that he does is chisels out certain portions which needs to be chiseled out. So the moment you have that surrender, only then the Guru can do that. Till such time you think you can do, he will wait for you. The interesting thing is, we do not have patience, but he has. We keep on complaining, Bhagavan, you are not looking at me, looking at me. Bhagavan says, please at least once you look at it in my direction. It is said in Puranas that when Rukmini was serving food to Sri Krishna, and suddenly he got up and he ran to the entrance. Up to the entrance he ran and then he came back and sat again, started eating. So Rukmini said, what is this tamasha, why are you doing like this? For which he said, as I was eating, a bhakta of mine, feeling his helplessness, was calling me, you know. So I immediately went without delay. As I was proceeding to help him, he thought he could help himself and started trying to find solutions for that. Then I said, okay, let him handle it himself, and I have come to eat now. This is a Puranic story trying to convey to us, if you want to get that ultimate, sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam praja. That's surrender. Even if, like English carpenter says, ego should be completely dropped. Not even a drop should be there. He akins it to poison in food. Even if there's everything is nice, he is fantastic, he remains. Only one drop poison. If I tell you like that, only one drop poison is there, please. Puja, it's okay. He says, sir, please. No, no, no. I don't know, you know, this kind of this thing. Similarly, exactly, that's the problem. So much of puja and everything we do to Bhagavan, but deep inside, I did a better puja. That spoils it all. Isn't it? There is competition going on. Whose function is bigger, you know, all that. Even in celebrating Janmashtami. So, it's a clear sign of bhakti that he is talking about. Bhakti is nothing but self-effacement. So joining palms, realizing the insignificance, where he stands, all his achievements are next to nothing, he is understood. See, death is something which reminds people that, you know, all, whatever, however great you could have been, all sorts of achievements, everything, finally, death robs away everything. Isn't it? So the moment you understand that and you are conscious of it, you will maintain this surrender. Next verse. Arjuna speaking. Arjuna uvacha, Pashyami devamstava devadehe, Sarvamstata bhuta vishesha sangham, Brahmanamisham kamalasanattam, Vishimsha sarvanuragamsha divyam, Arjuna uvacha, Pashyami devam tava deva dehe, Sarvastata bhuta vishesha sangham, Brahmanamisham kamalasanattam, Vishimsha sarvanuragamsha divyam. Arjuna uvacha, Arjuna said, O God, I see in your body all the gods and the hosts of various beings, the gods and the demigods, Brahma, the four-faced Brahma, the Lord based on the lotus seat and all sages and divine serpents. I already gave explanation to this. When he starts going inward in the realm of the mind, a different frequency is starting. We discussed about these things when I even pointed out to you that one day of Swargaloka is what? 1 year. And therefore, when he said Masana Margashirsha, the previous chapter, what is the specialty of Margashirsha? Margashirsha is the month between 15th December and January 15th approximately. And he says, of the month I am Margashirsha. This is what he said in 10th chapter. And what is the explanation he said for that? See, just now I told you, one, as the realm becomes subtler, the frequency changes. What takes you 1 year is 1 day for us. For the devil. 1 day is 1 year for us means every 1 month is 2 hours in Devaloka. And the 2 hours of their Brahma Muhurta, 4 to 6 times in Devaloka, is Margashirsha month for us. So when the devas themselves would be meditating during that time, if you also would do the sadhana, it will be tailwind. That doesn't mean the other time you can go to sleep. What it means is, it's tailwind. So you have to do the sadhana, so your sadhana goes spiraling upward. Same thing they talk about Shivaratri also. Shivaratri, when they talk about, why is it special? Mahashivaratri especially. There are Shivaratri coming every month. And Mahashivaratri is supposed to be energy-wise very high frequency. So it will help you to, if you do sadhana, it will help you to progress even more. In that sense, they tell you to keep awake not watching movie or playing cards. Keep awake means doing sadhana. Are you with me? Thus, you help yourself to progress faster. A person who understands the truth which has been talked about in the scriptures would want to get there faster, not want to waste his time, isn't it? So in that sense. So now, the realm that Arjuna is experiencing is subtler. So certain things, the only underlying thing is, everything is a divine, divine. Why? The base of everything is divinity and something which is not experienced by the gross senses. In that sense. Next verse.
अनेकबाहूधरवक्त्रनेत्रम् पश्यामि त्वां सर्वतोऽनन्तरूपम् नान्तं न मध्यं न पुनस्तवाभिम् पश्यामि विश्वेश्वर विश्वरूप अनेकबाहूधरवक्त्रनेत्रम् पश्यामि त्वां सर्वतोऽनन्तरूपम् नान्तं न मध्यं न पुनस्तवाधिं पश्यामि विश्वेश्वर विश्वरूपम्
I see you in endless form. See, the problem is when we read, we need to read it like that. Otherwise we don't understand the depth of what the verse is trying to do. Endless form you saw. Okay, next verse. You understand? Endless form. It's like you are viewing this whole world in a microscope. You will be seeing, you now see so much gap in between. No? If you are seeing from this scientist's eye with a microscope, you will be seeing so many insects in between. You will say there is actually no gap. It's filled up. Isn't it? It's just that we do not have that vision, so we don't see it. Imagine if you, that, you think there is nothing here, there is all sorts of things inside, in between, filling everywhere, absolutely filled with beings of all kinds, endless. I told you last time, it's like going up the hill, standing in the cliff and looking down. It's going endlessly. A lot of people cannot, in fact even in these big towers when you go, you take, when they take you in the lift, and then when you are there standing there, put this hardened glass there. You know, no, lot of people cannot go and stand there. It's just like a problem, isn't it? This is at the grass level. He is talking about seeing inside, which is going endlessly. It's like a tunnel going endlessly. So that's the thing that he's describing here. So he's saying, I see you in endless form, everywhere, with manifold arms, stomachs, mouths and eyes, infinite variety of things I'm seeing. Neither your end nor middle, nor also your beginning do I see, O Lord. What is that trying to say? If you try to see, if you try to grasp the infinity with the finite, you will never be able to. And the day you drop it, you see it. The more I is wanting to experience, the experience of truth will live. I forget this movie's name. I used to keep quoting the movie name, I forget now. Some, there's some golf tournament, you know, in US. It's an old movie. He tells the person, the coach tells him, there's a perfect shot waiting to be played out there by you. All you need to do is get yourself out of the way. One of the most brilliant statements. There's a perfect shot waiting to be played out there. All you need to do is get yourself
out of the way.
Because the more you think I will, you know, reach there, the sooner and this and that, you get a bad shot, it goes everywhere. You have to go there and completely surrender. The swing will do the magic. You know? So, this is exactly what he's saying here. You are only there. Where am I? I am seeing you everywhere in all various stars, everything, everywhere. You are filling the entire universe. When I understand that, then what are my achievements? Nothing. It's not even a speck. So he's saying, your end nor middle nor also your beginning do I see, O Lord of universe, of universal form. The very perception changes. How? What perception do you get? From the significant I, it changes to spoke in the wheel of life. An instrument in the hands of totality. You are thinking you are doing. That Maya gives you that feeling that you are doing something. He is giving through you. That is the meaning we studied when we studied earlier the Gita, when he said, whichever devata you give your puja to, ultimately it is coming to me only, you see. For which I gave you the example of garment of India. You may apply the through a particular department, agriculture department or finance department. Ultimately government of India sanctions it for you. Isn't it? It's like that. All these various tamas, various devas are what?
Speck of the entire pure consciousness only.
And when I realize that, I will clearly realize that I am also a small speck in the total. What ought to be done through me, I do and get out. I will not want to take credit for anything. I will inform him. Apparently, that's what Shirdi Sai Baba used to say. Keh dunga. Everybody goes and says, no, I'm in pain, please relieve me, please relieve this pain. He had that siddhi, you know. So he had relieved a lot of people's pain and all that, apparently. But even then he said, okay, I'll tell him. I'll tell him. I'll tell him. See? It's he who is doing it through me. The moment you have that in you, that is Baba. That day you become spiritual. It's not the number of temples you visit, isn't it? I have gone to many pilgrimages. There also the ego can come. He is doing it to me. I'm only an actor. He is the total director. When I understand that, then these sort of sentences will come. Next. Kiritinam gatinam chakrinam cha, kiritinam gatinam chakrinam cha, tejo rashim sarvato dhiti mantam,
tejo rashim sarvato dhiti mantam,
pashyamitvam durnirishyam samantat,
pashyamitvam durnirishyam samantat,
ditanalakadyudimapramayam,
ditanalakadyudimapramayam,
kiritinam gatinam chakrinam cha, tejo rashim sarvato dhitimantam, pashyamitvam durnirikshyam samantat, ditanalakadyudimapramayam. Kiritinam, I'm seeing you with Daitam. Kiritinam means this is actually seeing the form of Vishnu. Vishnu is one of the Adityas, right? And Lord Krishna is supposed to be the avatar of Mahavishnu. So he's saying, I see you with diadem means discuss. A mass of radiance shining everywhere, hard to look at, shining all around like a glorious fire and sun, immeasurable.
What is diadem?
The crown. The scepter and the crown that a person has in the hand. You know, that shows the authority. The crown is the authority. The scepter is also the authority. That's what he's talking about here. Kiritina. You have that. Kiriti, you are the Kiriti. Actually what he is trying to say is, ultimately you are the Kiriti. It's like so many kings who are paying taxes to one big emperor. You know? So you are the emperor of emperors. With maze, disgust and all this. This basically is trying to say, see, Vishnu is the lord of maintenance. How this entire universe is maintained, you have absolutely no idea. In fact, we are thinking many things can go wrong in this body, isn't it? Any minute anything can happen in your body. Very interesting thing is, there are bacteria everywhere in the body. But there are certain bacteria which are there, let's say in your throat. They are okay there. But if they slip from getting to heart, you can get into seriousness. They are okay for them to settle in that area. But if they slip and go into the area of heart, they become detrimental for your survival. Now, how it is maintained, how it is only permanently staying there and not going into heart, what are you doing? You are blissfully unaware of it. Switching on the CD and dancing a bit. All your life, this and that, ye nahi mila, wo nahi mila, wo, you are complaining, this, that. How this is going on? It's incredible. There's an article that we distributed in the class, which was, once published in Reader's Digest. It's there in the Vedanta Treatise book also, by Swamiji. You know, when I see you, say, that is Rita Ji, it happens like this, isn't it? Shweta, it happens like this. But then, there are millions of transactions that is happening. We are blissfully unaware of how it is happening. The food that you eat, how the entire digestive system, if you study, you will definitely start believing in God. You will say, my God, how this is happening? Each and every aspect of life like that, perception, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, everything, you just have to become little more conscious. Unfortunately, because we are preoccupied with something gross outside in the world, we have no time to focus on this. If you focus on this, you will say, it is acharya, the very fact that I am living. I am surviving. Isn't it? The bacteria in your hands, they're okay. The moment, without washing, if you eat and if they go through your mouth, then they become detrimental for you. How the whole thing you survive itself is, so that is what he's trying to tell here by saying with maize, all that he is actually taking care. There's a significance of Lord Vishnu's symbolism. That is, the four hands Lord Vishnu has. In one he holds chakra, in the other conch, and one padma, and the other one mace. Right? There is this conscience, shank in each one of us, directing us towards the right thing. Always to the right thing. But we don't listen to that, generally. So what happens? Maze. One big knock and shock. Are you going to listen or not? Then still. So the conscience shank is pointing towards Padma, the peace. Padma represents peace. If you don't listen to that, then maze. Knocks and shocks of life. Still if you don't listen, chakra. This is how he maintains. What he is trying to say is, Please understand, you are not the one who is doing all this, man. See, how will you get that attitude, karmani eva adhikaraha, that we studied in the third chapter? In the second chapter, sorry. Karmani eva adhikaraha, mahavaneshu kadasana. You understand, I am not the one, he is doing great things. It just happened that I am doing little bit, that also he is doing it to me. Once I understand that, then there is clear attitude with which I function, then it becomes karma yoga. So I already told you, when karma mixes with bhakti, or bhakti mixes with karma, then it becomes bhakti yoga. Sorry, karma yoga. If bhakti doesn't mix with karma, it is not karma yoga. It is only karma. So karma yoga is nothing to do with what you do. Karma yoga is to do with how you do it. So supposing we are teaching Bhagavad Gita, by itself it will not become karma yoga. But are you doing it with bhakti? Then it will become yoga. So what converts an action to yoga is bhakti. Same thing when you do without yoga, it becomes mundane. Without bhakti, it becomes mundane. The moment you do it with bhakti, it becomes spiritual. That's the idea. So he's saying, you are that exalted emperor. You are that one who maintains all the dharma and everything. I'm seeing you here now. That you have opened up my vision to. My perception is changing now. Next.
Tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam. Tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam. Tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam. Tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam. Tvamavyaya shashvata dharma gopta. Tvamavyaya shashvata dharma gopta. Sanatanastvam puruso mato me. Sanatanastvam puruso mato me. Tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam. Tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam. Tvamavyaya shashvata dharma gopta. Sanatanastvam puruso mato me.
I consider you to be the imperishable. See, all along he has been hearing from Sri Krishna, I am imperishable, I am imperishable, I am imperishable. Now he is saying, you are imperishable. Everything else is perishable. Nothing else is worth knowing. That's what he is trying to say. You are imperishable, supreme to be known. Everything else that you come to know is perishable. See, when something that I collect, if you actually see from the time we are born till we die, we are only doing one job. What is that? Collecting. Collecting material things, people, information, going on collecting. Isn't it? And as you are collecting, in the very world itself, it could be stolen by your... In the worldly people, thieves can steal it away. Son-in-law. Son. You understand? Hey, waiting. Don't be, and the person dies. Next, in fact, it's a very pitiable sight sometimes. The very same evening, or next day, fighting is going on. Who's getting which necklace? Which ring is going to whom? So that's what you have to understand here. You are the imperishable. Everything else perishes. So the only thing worth knowing is you. And therefore, I can play about in this universe like anything I want to do. It's okay. But I must use my time to gain that. That which is to be known. It's a great opportunity given to human beings alone to know that superior thing. But we are busy picking up things which are perishable, precious trifles. So those, you know, therefore the thing doesn't matter. Keep collecting. Whatever you want to collect, collect. But make sure you have collected that which is to be known. It's a beautiful story. I've said this before also. Swamiji used to say this. There was a strange tradition in the kingdom. They used to select somebody
as a king. You know, there's a method through which they select somebody as a king. And once he becomes the king, it's only for 5 years he will be king. After his term finishes, 50th year bar, in the same kingdom, when you cross a particular river, on the other side of the river is a thick jungle infested with all sorts of wild animals. The strange custom used to be that the king, once his term is finished, he will be taken in that boat and left on the other side of the river, in the wild jungle. He would be eaten by some wild animal, something, and he dies. This was the tradition in the kingdom. So everybody who comes enjoys, and then when they are taken, they almost, it's a dead body that goes. So much of soka they go. One young fellow, when he was made the king, as the days passed, his party was 10 times, 20 times, 50 times going on, more and more party was going. Usually in the other cases it was reducing. First few years, days, tremendous party. Second year, thoda kam. Third year, last year, almost no party. That is how everybody lived. Whereas this fellow's case, it was reverse. It was ulta, vice versa. Everything was increasing. Nobody understood what is going on. The last day, he threw the best party ever. And he was taken in the boat, and before that, he said, bye-bye to everybody. And very cheerfully got into the boat. Then he started striking a conversation with this ferryman. How much do they pay you on this side? To ferry from this side to that side? Some 10 rupees per day, something like that, he said. I'll give you 1000 rupees. Are you ready to operate from that end? He said, are you mad? That end is full of wild animals. What do you mean ferrying from there? Who is there? Even you will be eaten by them. He said, you are only mad. Because once in 5 years only you ferry, no? That's why you don't know what's going on. What he has been doing is, from the day he took over as the king, silently he sent engineers, everybody there, and he converted that wild jungle into a beautiful city. 10 times better city than this. And he is a permanent king there. Here he is only temporary king for 5 years. The permanent king, that side. So when he told this, he said, yes, I will operate from that side. See, in other words, all this is tamasha, including Bhagavad Gita class is a tamasha. Do you understand these words? As long as serious with it. Like in Daffodil's poem, William Wordsworth says, in vacant or in pensive mood, vacant with the thought of the world and pensive with the thought of the self. That's why Sri Krishna says this is a leela. It really doesn't matter. Whether you've got 1 degree, 2 degrees, PhD, AO, Kuchinai, that thing doesn't matter. Because all this is perishable. Knowing all this, what is the use? You will still be insecure, huh? Has your insecurity gone? After knowing all this, after collecting all this. So you have been only so much focused, and with the tremendous efforts you have been collecting only those things that will be robbed from you at the time of death. And that at the time of death is a very interesting thing. It's like there's a sword hanging on your head permanently. We are not watching that. It is at the time of death. At that death, any minute it can happen. People say, just go to the market and coming back. They don't come back. It was accident. What are we talking about? So, what are you collecting? So in the poetry toy, the poet says, we are also collecting toys like children. And what are our toys that we are collecting? Name, fame, power, position, family, status, money. Name, fame, power, position, family, status, money. Isn't it? This is what we are collecting. This is where the competition is, fighting.
So he's saying, don't do all these things, is not what he's saying. Do all these things. But understand, you are the supreme to be known. You are imperishable. Unnecessarily I was stuck with this gross experience.
Now my vision has broadened. This is the vision Arjuna, Sri Krishna wanted Arjuna to get, you know. So he says, you are the imperishable. Everything else in this universe perishes, you are the imperishable. And then, supreme to be known. Because knowing this, all insecurities go. Knowing many things, your insecurity only increases further.
Isn't it? Therefore, he says, this has to be known. You to be the ultimate abode of this universe. Tvamasya Vishvasya Param Nidhanam. What does abode means? The abode of entire dream world is mind. The dream world arises from the mind. Exists in the mind. Perishes in the mind. But the dreamer doesn't know this.
Isn't it?
The ultimate dham is Atma. Ultimately where you went from, you have to come back there. It's a cycle. So therefore as quickly as possible get there. So you to be the immutable protector of eternal dharma. This is what I already covered. Eternal dharma, because by two various laws he governs this entire universe. You are that. You to be the ancient Purusha. Ancient Purusha means from that one Purusha all these many Purushas are from. That is only one Purusha is there. Recollect the story of Veera. I thought there is only one Purusha. When did you become Purusha, she says. You know. So that's what he's talking about here. Next verse.
Anadi madhyantam ananta viryam. Anadi madhyantam ananta viryam. Ananta bahum shashi surya netram. Ananta bahum shashi surya netram. Pashyami tvam dita kutasha vaktram. Pashyami tvam dita kutasha vaktram. Svatejasa vishvamidham tapantam. Svatejasa vishvamidham tapantam. Anadi madhyantam ananta viryam. Ananta bahum shashi surya netram. Pashyami devan. Pashyami devam dita kutasha vaktram. Pashyami tvam dita kutasha vaktram. Svatejasa vishvamidham tapantam.
See, these are verses which has to be looked at little devotionally. He is saying, I see you without beginning, middle or end. Actually, without beginning, middle or end means what? The whole thing you are pervading. It is infinite in power. Means, I am finite. That is the contrast to be understood. With endless arms means, you are behind all activities. Endless arms means, all activities that are going on, you are the one who is behind all this. Today I am seeing myself behind every eye. Then the sun and the moon as your eyes. Meaning what? Direct and indirect light which is energizing the whole universe is you. Shining fire as mouth. You always associate fire. Fire is speech. The prana. The whole thing is you. Heating this universe with your radiance.
Tapantam.
Due to your tapas the whole universe is going on, not due to our tapas. That's the thing that he is trying to say here. The tapas kindles the heat, na? When there is effort, there is heat. And due to your effort, that's what Upanishad also says, due to Brahman's effort, the world swelled. Means the world came out of you, from your tapas. We think it is due to my.
Nothing is mine here.
See, when your perception, your attitude changes like this, tremendous peace instantly you get. A lot of people ask me, just they see everywhere, you know.
What did you bring into this world? What are you going to take back? The gist of Bhagavad Gita, and ISKCON people have written here and there. Then where is there anywhere directly Sri Krishna says this? These are the verses. He is not saying it there. First of all, Sri Krishna is not saying this. Arjuna is talking. But what is the gist that Gita is trying to say? You are thinking that you brought something. You are adding something. That has to go. It's due to tapas of Brahman. Your tapas. Your tapas. See, I don't remember which year, in 1998 or 99, again there was tremendous recession period. And that time, TVS Group in Chennai, they did very well even during recession period. And in, I don't remember which magazine again, India Today or one of these magazines, wrote an article about that group on their success even during recession time. The cover page of the magazine had the managing director, Mr. Srinivasan, TVS Group, Srinivasan, and entire team was there in the cover page, photo. Apparently, when the interview was given, and they requested Srinivasan to give a photograph, not to be put in the magazine, he said, I will allow you to take a photograph only if you take a picture of my entire team. Because this was possible for us to achieve because of all of us, including the laborers. You know, that attitude. That's what he's talking about here. You know, at a mundane level for you to understand, I'm giving you this example. There are so many factors which are not under my control. So I must appreciate that. Otherwise, generally what happens? I won't receive the award. Isn't it? Who's doing it? Somebody. Many times this is what happens. You know? So, he's saying here in this verse that heating this universe with your radiance. Heating this universe with your radiance means it is by your presence all this is possible. Acknowledging that. Acknowledging that it's due to your presence. And many of us forget that, especially when success comes. When success comes, you forget. When suddenly some failure comes, you remember God. So that is what he is saying here. This is, according to me, many things he has already said, but this one is very interesting. Heating this universe with your radiance. The radiance of Brahman is what is the cause behind the entire activity. Like petrol is the cause behind the cars moving, performing, everything. But you forget the petrol. Isn't it? Petrol has no direct cause. But no car can move without petrol. So, does it mean that we should not strive? We should strive. He's not saying don't strive. Bhagavan is striving. You should strive. But simultaneously understand, my very striving is possible and it bears fruit because of the striving of the Bhagavan. That is why in the third chapter Sri Krishna said, look at me Arjuna, I want nothing from this universe, yet I do my action. And he said, if I do not act, this entire universe will become what? Perished completely. Read that verse number, I think, 24 or something, chapter 3. Please read the translation.
Chapter 3.
23 or 24?
would perish, these worlds.
Who is that? 24, no?
These worlds would perish if I did not perform action. I should be the cause of confusion of caste and should destroy these people.
One verse before and one verse later.
If indeed I do not ever engage in action, unwearied men would in every way follow my path.
Then?
Yeah, you made it mark it important, the next one.
25.
See, all I'm trying to say is I'm connecting these two for you to remember this, and I'm making you do this exercise because you will see the connection. Basically, Sri Krishna has told already in the third chapter, he says, if I do not act, the whole world will come to a standstill. Right? And the tapas of Brahman is the one which is behind the existence of the universe. And we are a small speck in that universe. And then we are thinking, I am doing mehnat kar raha hu, effort dal raha hu, ye kar raha hu. Understand, if that effort of Brahman is not there, the enlivening principle is not there, nothing will happen. That is what he is trying to say. Heating this universe with your entire radiance. Without that heat, no life is possible. And if life itself is not possible, how then the activity and everything through that life? So in other words, anything that one may do, and always we have this awareness, then that becomes yajna. Remember, I told you, going inward is spiritual. So in all this, if the attitude is there, he is the one who is doing it. That is the idea that they try to bring in tradition also. When you achieve anything, you get the certificate. You take the certificate, give it to your parents, fall at their feet. And keep it in the puja room, fall at their feet. Whether it is certificate or salary or whatever it may be. The idea is, you will never forget the source. Bharat is unique in that sense. Because Bharat always focuses the source. This no Westerner can understand. Why are you falling at a human being's feet? Father, mother. Falling at the feet, they never understand. What is the thing about father and mother? They are the source. So the significance is always be identified with the source. Never forget the source. That is why they say if somebody helped you and you became big, you should continue to remember them because the source. This is the culture. The culture revolves around this. The culture, whole thing is always remember the source. Always remember the source. Guru Govinda Dhono Kade Kake Lagripa. But I will fall at the feet of Guru because he is the source. He took me to Govinda. You know, the source.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So suppose, what should be your attitude if someone is going through struggles or not having anything but struggling through things in life? What should be the attitude then? This is all sounding very optimistic that everything is good. But if it is the other way around, then what are
the... Meaning the efforts are not fetching results.
Yeah.
That's what you mean.
Efforts of... Generally, like there are a lot of people who have a lot of struggles in life.
Prashad Buddhi. We discussed that, no? Whether good comes or bad comes, you don't go to Mandir.
Then people
ringing, what is the prasad today?
Then the faith goes off, no?
That no, it doesn't go off.
That's what I wanted to understand.
See, when you want to get purified, when you want to purify the gold, what do?
But you have to be able to put that
Heat it.
So the personality becomes more purified with all these varieties of experiences. So when difficulty comes, your attitude should be, God is giving me these difficult circumstances for me to become more purified. This is what I am trying to do. Remember the example of gold. The gold becomes more pure when you heat it. Similarly, in the varied experiences, especially with the difficulties, is how the
Paramatma tries to purify us. If only success you had, you will become highly egoistic. Possibility is there. Therefore, difficulties come. They make you little level-headed, purify you. India has to lose the very first match. There is then possibility of winning the World Cup. Now these fellows will be very careful. They took it very easily, no? That's what I am trying to say. Difficulty, in fact, there is a saying, they say, when difficulty you go through, which means God loves you more. It's a sign for you to get rid of your... No, it's a fact. You want to destroy somebody, keep on giving them.
So can we call God egoist? He keeps saying, I can do this, I alone can do this.
He is not saying I in that sense. God is not... That's what... I think this we discussed already in some other context. The I, when a person who has realized the self uses, they don't mean from the body, mind, intellect point of view. From the self point of view. If it's from the body, mind point of view, only then it becomes ego. When it is from the self point of view, it's not ego. For example, somebody asks me, who's conducting class in this house here? Gita class every Thursday. And I say, I am conducting. Shweta says, are you a egoistic fellow? He's saying, I am conducting. So when I say I am conducting, the emphasis was not on me. It's a statement of fact. When a Bhagavan, when Bhagavan is talking, he is identifying from the self and talking. When identification is with the self, it is not ego. When the same I is used, but the identification is with either the body or the mind or the intellect or the total BMI, then it is ego. Therefore,
but all that is part of self.
That is not what he understands and realizes, identifies and talks. If he understands, identifies and talks, no problem. There is no problem. That's the point. Let's come back. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
मनसेन्द्रियैवा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा
प्रकृतेः स्वभावात्
करोमि अद्य
सकलं परस्मै
नारायणायेति
समर्पयामि
हरि ओम्।